Listen, do you want to get jacked? Do you want to get bigger, faster, stronger? Are you putting everything you got into your workouts? Well, that's great. That's great. But are you backing it up when you get home? You know what I mean. Are you eating right? Are you drinking right? Are you taking the correct supplements? Well, if you're in need of some fantastic supplements, go over and check out GetMountainOps.com. Some of the best supplements out there geared towards the specific needs of the hunter. They got multi-blended proteins, pre-workouts, post-workouts, multivitamins, which I myself take and thoroughly enjoy. And not only that, but for the fantastic listeners of this show, if you want to get 20% off your order, all you have to do is enter the coupon code NBH20 at checkout, and boom, 20% off right there. So head on over to GetMountainOps.com and get yourself some. And don't forget to head on over to naturalbornhunter.com. Check us out on YouTube, subscribe to our iTunes channel, hit us up on Instagram and Facebook. All right, now let's get this show underway.
I'm pretty much like an amateur coming into the professional ranks now, and I'm working like a fighter, trying to, you know, show these guys what I got, you know, and what my team has to bring.
Boom, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Natural Born Hunter podcast. I'm your host, Will Bradley, along with my esteemed co-host and brother in bow hunting arms, Phil Big Sexy, the Iceman Mendoza.
What's up?
And tonight we are joined by a man who's as deadly in the cage as he is in the woods, Luke Caudillo. I hope I said that right.
Yes, you did. You did.
I'm going to cut that bit out where I say I hope I said that right later on.
No, you won't.
No, I won't. Who am I kidding? Who am I kidding? I started recording like a minute or two before I started that intro. That's going to be the thing now. It's going to be surprise starts.
So what's up, Luke?
Oh, man, I'm good. Just got home from the gym, and I was excited to be on here with you guys.
Yeah, man, we've been talking about doing this for a little while, and you've got a lot of things cooking in the pot, so it was one of those it was more of an issue of timing for the sake that, you know, with the projects you're working on, some things you were still evolving, some things you were trying to figure out what direction you were going, and me and you being friends and you working out my son, which we'll talk more about too here shortly, but it was one of those things I've been wanting to get you on, you know, from the standpoint of it's such a unique category that you're working on, and with the MMA guys and the outdoor world. So why don't you give us a little intro explanation as to that project that you're working on right now?
Okay, well, you know, me being a former, you know, UFC fighter, you know, MMA fighter, and you know me being 35 years old now, you know, and I retired about, you know, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, and I've, you know, now I run a gym, I'm part of a gym, and I got into coaching, and we run, you know, we're probably one of the top five gyms in the world, you know. Gress Training Center is such a high-level gym, you know, and so we get a lot of, like, high-caliber fighters, you know, and who's who, I mean, in
Phil's,
the gym. And
Phil's son.
Yeah, I mean, Dom, you know, he hits like a Mack truck, though. I mean, I don't get it where he gets it from, you know, like Bob's side, you know. But yeah, so it's, you know, I got into fighting, and that was my passion, like, you know, me in my younger 20s, you know, like, yeah, it was all I could think about, you know. And then when I got in the UFC, it was even more, and, you know, but I was always in the outdoors. And when I started getting a little older, and my back was like not what it used to be, and I was like, man, what am I gonna do, you know, after fighting, you know, I mean, because everybody thinks, you know, once you get in the UFC, you're going to make all this money and you're going to be set for life. You know, that's like my big thing. I talk to all my young fighters, my amateur fighters are like, oh, I'm going to make it UFC. Okay. And, you know, I mean, look at me, I'm coaching you for free. You know what I mean? Like, this is because I'm free. I'm making money, you know? So, you know, and that's kind of what I did. And then, I thought, well, I'm tired of getting kicked in the face, punched in the face. What do I want to do with my life? You know, like, how can I be a better family man, a better person, you know, all around. And it was to the outdoors, you know, and it was probably, I don't know, what'd you say, 5 years ago, Bill, Phil, we met each other?
Yeah, about 5 years ago.
And a friend of ours, Santino, Mantino, you guys know him as, took me into Phil's shop, and he goes, man, you got to get into bow hunting. You know, I was always a rifle hunter, you know, I was like, yeah, I hunt, you know, but he's like, dude, you got to try archery. And so I had like a bear bow, I think, you know, I honestly think I got it at like a pawn shop, maybe even a garage sale, I think, you know, and I had it, you know, and I never had it set up. And I think I had it set up for carp fishing, you know, and I brought it in and Phil looked at it and goes, I'll tell you what, homie, I'll sponsor you. And, you know, and you're, I was thinking I was still fighting in Canada overseas, you know, a lot, and, you know, and he pretty much gave me my first bow, you know, and I was like, huh? And funny story there, huh, Phil? I'm an MMA fighter. I feel like I'm a pretty strong guy, you know. And he goes, put this release on. So he gives me a bow. He goes, he gave me like 4 or 5 bows to try, right? He's like, you'll find which one you like. And he goes, here you go, try this one. It was the one I ended up picking, the Matthew Z7, right? Extreme. And I couldn't even pull back, what, 55 pounds, I think?
It was about 65 pounds at first, and we had to back him down to about 57.
Oh, and boy.
I was doing the whole, I was weak. I couldn't understand. Like, I didn't have those muscles, you know. But, you know, that was funny. But, you know, so then I just got into archery hunting, and I've been hooked on that since that day. You know, I could not stop shooting. I mean, I live up here in the mountains right now, and I turned my whole, you know, 2 acres into a 3D range. I got, you know, animals out there, you know, and it's nuts what I've done with archery now. And, you know, where your question's going with this is, what am I doing now? And, well, I'm starting an outdoor show called Gladiators Unleashed. And what I'm doing is I'm in the MMA game. So I want to take these fighters out into the outdoors, introduce them to hunting. Some of them never done it. And some of them are really good hunters. And, you know, now that my name's starting to get out there and, like, these fighters, when I was at the, you know, the UFC in Vegas for the McGregor one, all these guys, you know, were coming up to me. Dude, I want to go with you. I'll shoot a rifle. I ain't going to shoot a bow. I ain't that good. You know, I ain't that patient or, you know, blah, blah, blah. So it's kind of cool getting into that field and some of these guys asking me to come along with me on the show, you know. So it's exciting for me, you know.
It's definitely, like you said, two worlds that there's definitely some fighters that already hunt. You know, there's a handful that do, and then there's a handful that don't. So putting yourself right in the middle.
Yeah.
Right. That's it. And that's exactly right, because Luke's brought in a couple other guys that are fighters, and they've bought some bows and stuff from me, and we've got some of them set up. And it's cool because it's different worlds. You know, you've got the fitness world now, and then you've got the MMA world, and you've got, you know, other, I don't want to say genre, but just other hobbies or other lifestyles.
Sports.
You've seen how they mesh and how they all work together. And it's cool, man. I mean, it's always lighthearted with Luke's crew. That's the one I'll tell you. That's the one thing I'll tell you. When we shoot 3D League or whatever we're doing, it's half grab ass and half archery, because it's just everybody's in it for the purest essence of what it is, and it's just having fun and flinging some arrows, and that's what I enjoy doing. I mean, I've been shooting 3D League more often because, like, Santino comes in and Levi and some of the other guys, and then Luke will come in with Ian and some of the other guys, and Justin brought him in last week. So, and then Dominic gets in the mix, my son, and there's 40 to 55 people there a night shooting 3D League on Wednesdays.
Great.
Yeah, and there's, I can tell you that there's some people that maybe they're Harley guys, you know, whatever, you know, there's motorcycle guys, there's other people that probably are the office type, you know, suit and tie, and they come in and they play around. There's women. It's just a total mixed bag, and it's a really fun atmosphere.
Let me ask you this: if you had to guess average age averaged out age, what would you think? Does it skew a little bit younger or a little bit older?
I think that it skews probably in the 30s, I would say.
That's a young
It crew. Is, right?
That's a young crew for archery, really.
But that's where with, like, you know, and again, going to what Luke's doing, it's a similar deal. He's bridging the gap, and he's been hunting, you know, with his family all his life and getting into archery hunting more recently and bringing some of these guys along. I've seen some of the trailers that Luke's put together for some of the shows, and I tell you what, man, it's comical, not from a standpoint of, man, those guys are it's because their personalities are coming through. Most people don't get to see fighters other than what's in the cage, right?
Correct.
You know, so to see those guys and see Luke interact with them, and like I said, it's always lighthearted from what I see, and it's a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to seeing what these guys put down on video, because they're having fun, man. That's the one thing. It seems like there's so much seriousness at times, and I don't know, man. I'm looking forward to it. So
I think if you can convey the fun you're having in the field or wherever you are out onto the screen, you'll have a successful show.
Yeah, that's the plan. I mean, you know, me talking to my producer and, you know, just recently we're talking about this. I'm going to New Zealand in April, right? And I'm taking we're going with Chad Mendez and TJ Dillashaw.
I've heard of those guys.
Oh, yeah, they're who's who.
Fairly, you know, successful fighters.
And, you know, I'm just so grateful that I can, you know, I'm going to say I'll tag along and I get to be a part of their success. And then they're coming on. It's just like Chad's doing his new guiding service called Fins and Feather, you know, guiding. So it's kind of like he started his deal. I'm starting mine. So we're just kind of scratching each other's back, you know, and trying to branch off to each other, you know, and using what we got, you know, our access of, you know, social media and everything like that, trying to build a brand for each other, you know?
Oh, yeah. I think it's a great idea. I think it's important for people to expand their melting pots and their idea of what a hunter or a fighter or even what a guy who rides a desk all day is.
Yes.
You know, combine them all.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, a lot of these fighters, they're no different than you and me. I mean, you guys, you know, the average Joe, I mean, just
maybe you, I'm weird as hell.
We chose a different path, you know what I mean? I mean, I should have went to college instead of in school of hard knocks, you know. But would I change anything? No, never in a million years. I would never change anything I have done.
Now, I know Chad has been a long time hunter, right?
Yes.
Now, is TJ new to hunting, or is he also a longtime hunter?
What happened to you guys? I'm trying to see what happened to you guys.
We got you on audio. I don't know if the video froze up. I don't know if it's just the feed.
There you go.
Yeah.
So I was just talking to TJ the other day on the phone, and we were kind of saying, you know, how we're going to go about doing this, you know, and back to the, you know, the producer part where I was getting this. We just want to be real on my show, you know. I'm no Jim Shockey. I'm no Phil Mendoza, you know, Mr. Stone Cold Ice Killer, you know. You know, I'm not that hunter, you know. I'm not coming out here to say I'm going to be the best hunter. But will I do my damnedest to, you know, kill the biggest elk? Yes. You know, and a lot of these guys are just as passionate as me as hunting, you know, deer or elk, and they want to show that too, you know, and they train so hard in, you know, the gym. So it's kind of translate it to the outdoors, you know, I mean, it all goes hand to hand, but the main thing is we want to be ourselves and you get to know the character, you know, like Shane Carwin, for instance. We went turkey hunting last year and that guy is a giant, right? I mean, we couldn't sneak up a turkey to save our life. I literally had to put him in a blind, right? So I had a 4-man blind, right? And by the time we put, you know, Grady's gear in it, his tripod, and Shane, that was it. There was no room for me, you know? So it's just fun, you know, talking about, you know, seeing guys, you know, grab a guy like Shane's size, you know, grab a little turkey, a big turkey, but make it look like a little Cornish hen, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just fun.
So, but and to touch on that, man, so just like most fighters, I'm guessing, were passionate about, right? They had a passion. It was their release. They enjoy doing it. As they've excelled, and some of these guys start competing more in the higher ranks of the UFC and some of the other organizations, it's their job, right?
Yeah.
So to have a release now from something that was initially their passion, that's turned into their job, and they may still love it and be passionate about it, but to have a release now from that, be it hunting or fishing or something,
exactly.
Yeah, man, that's where I see it's huge, because everybody needs that. Everybody needs some kind of a release.
Yeah, and they need it outside, you know, outside of the gym, you know. Yeah. It is so important, you know.
Let's talk about that a little. What does hunting mean to you?
Oh, I mean, there's tons of things of what it means to me, you know. Like, am I supposed to say conservation and all that? Yeah, it is. I mean, I pay my tags. I do it all for conservation. But, like, for me, it's just to let loose, you know. I enjoy being out with either if it's my brothers, teammates, you know, even if it's outside shooting 3Ds with my wife. You know, it's something that I would say, like, it used to be my sparring. You know, I used to love sparring and get beat on and punch people in the face. Like, that was my go. And now my go is to grab my bow and get out there. And, you know, it's not even about killing an animal. To me, it's all about just getting out there and maybe doing some selfies with some buddies or some, you know, some deer we got in, you know. Like, that's what it's about for me, you know.
Yeah.
It's just about experience and, you know, getting out there. If I find a shed, oh, man, I just found, like, gold. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'm not supposed to find sheds, and I'm finding sheds, you know. So it's fun for me, you know.
I remember when you first got set up, and then you got clean a bow shortly after,
mm-hmm.
and you guys started hitting some of the local 3D ranges.
Yep.
And you come to me a couple times afterwards, and you were telling me, he's like, man, you do this all the time? It's like, yeah, I do this for tournaments. He's like, man, that's fun, you know. And you just couldn't believe how you were missing out on. You'd never known about something like that, right?
Yes.
And how fun it was, and. It was cool to see, and then there's the other additions of the family.
This is my new one, my one and only right now. Yeah, this is Eva.
She's a cutie.
Eva? Is she named after the Eva, or is it a family name?
That was coincidence, but we'll take it, you know what I mean? We'll take that, for sure.
She's a little cutie.
Yeah, she's a little, 10 months, going to be 10 months on the 25th, so.
Oh, boy.
I can't wait to put a bow in her hand.
Yeah.
That's the great thing about hunting, too. And I know from talking to Phil, you know, he's starting to take his boys out to experience the woods. He'll be going with Dom on his first turkey hunt this year. You
right.
obviously want to get – do you have any kids of age yet out in the woods? Or
not yet? First. Yeah,
so, that's my first. So you're going to be all stoked. I have a son on the way. I'm stoked just to go out there in the woods. And it's there's something about being in the woods. It's an irreplaceable feeling.
Yep.
Even shooting 3D and doing that isn't as satisfying. It's not the exact same feeling, but I know that feeling you're talking about of going out and just shooting a 3D course and being like, man, that was so much fun.
Yep.
I think I got enough time to shoot it again.
Yeah,
I mean, when Phil introduced me to this thing, I was like, what have I been missing? Like, it was like a new vanilla ice cream to me, and I love vanilla ice cream. You know what I mean? Like, it was nuts.
You've been hiding this other vanilla ice cream all this time?
Yeah, no one told me about this at all. Like, who's been holding out, you know?
All right, let's get down to it. How'd you do your first round?
Oh, man, I don't think I did very good. I think I took 5 arrows, and I ended up coming back with, like, 3 or 2, maybe, you know? Well, there, you know, these
we
guys.
We all do.
These old guys are all like, oh, no rangefinder. And I'm like, what? I can't use a rangefinder. I barely know how to use this bow, you know. But
you should be like, how about you don't use a rangefinder?
Yeah.
But you know, and these guys, you know, I get to shoot with, like, you know, the other night I shot with Willie Schmidt and Phil and Dom, and I mean, I think me and Dom were close call, but, you know, Phil just ended up smoking 10s, 11s, 12s, you know, I'm like, what?
You can't shoot with Phil unless you want to feel bad about your own shooting. That's no. how it goes. No.
I honestly want to shoot with the best, you know, because it pushes me to get better. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, man, I want to be the best, just like anything in the fighting, you know. Now I'm working to be the best I can be. You know what I mean? Like, do I want to be like the Aaron Snyder and Phil and you, Will, and all you guys? I want to be amongst the guys. You see, you like that one, huh? I know how to treat my guys. But that's why I practice, you know what I mean? And it's just like anything. If I wanted to be in the UFC, I had to practice and train hard enough to be good enough to get in that level, to beat the people that I wasn't supposed to beat, to get in there. And now that's my job now, is I'm going to try to entertain and be the best hunter I can be, you know, and you know, try to make a living out of it, you know, because this is what I want to do for the rest of my life.
It's important to find a passion and live with passion. And I think yep. a lot of times any former athlete has a hard time moving on to another passion.
Yep.
And really, I think that's why hunting's so important, because you can – I mean, I can't compare my experiences to, you know, being in the cage with anyone. But there's still those moments,
yeah,
you know, in the woods that you don't experience anywhere else in the world.
Last year, believe it or not, we're filming for the sizzle reel for my deal, and I shot my first bear, right? I took my bow for 5 days. Didn't see one. And my last day, we went to Hell's Canyon, Idaho. And I was like, man, I just spent a lot of money on this whole trip. Give me that rifle, right? I've got to try to do something, you know, get one. Because, one, it ain't a sizzle reel if you ain't killing anything, right?
No sizzle.
No. So I'm like, oh, man, so I'm like stressed, right? Like, I'm like, oh, man. My buddy, I took Justin Salas down there with me, and an amateur fighter. And he gets a bear the first night, 20 minutes, he didn't care. He was like, boom, I'm shooting it.
Yeah.
I got a ghillie suit on. I'm trying to freaking be the old, just stealthy, go out and get, you know, a close encounter with the bear. And honestly, I'm kind of glad I didn't have that encounter, because I was about 100 yards away from this bear, and I was doing this. My cameraman was like, are you going to shoot him? I was shaking so much, you know, like I couldn't even pull my glove off, you know. And to me, it's like when it's not like that no more, then maybe I need to find something else too, you know. Yeah. But I'm like, my first, like, it was like my first kill of a buck, you know, or a doe or anything. So I can't wait to go and kill a stag. I don't even know what I'm going to be like, you know.
You know, even killing does, I get that feeling.
Yeah.
I don't quite shake like that, but there's that feeling inside yeah. me. You know, I'm like, hey, Will, inside of me, shh, calm down. Let's get this yep. done. Get yourself yep. together.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, and that's like, you know, I watch some of these shows on TV now, and these guys are just like, yeah, I did it, baby. Boom. And I'm like, man, how are you guys not excited about doing this? You know, like,
yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I've watched guys, even Fred Eichler, that guy, he pumps me up, because I can relate to him, you know, and he don't care if he's shooting his coyote, you know, and that guy's probably killed more things than I will ever probably see, you know, and he gets so emotional in it, and that's so fun to me to watch. That's entertainment for me.
That right there sums up a good show.
Yeah, I mean, it you got to have entertainment. I mean, that's the way I look at
yeah,
it.
Yeah, are you feeling what that guy's feeling? Because if he's not feeling much, you know, there's yeah, not a lot you for do? You there. Yeah,
exactly.
There's a ski movie called Claim, and the whole thing starts out, like the trailer to it is, when did we become people who go and just throw these big, huge tricks or ski a line that's never been skied before and just get done and turn around and look back like, oh, that was nice. No big deal. Yeah. All the time. When did we stop getting excited about this? When did we stop celebrating these achievements? you know?
And yeah. You know, it's kind of like me coaching now, right? Like when I would fight and I would knock somebody out right away, and I was like, I was supposed to do that. Like I was cool. Did I celebrate? Yeah. But it was like, I was supposed to do that. I was cornering Justin Gaethje this last, you know, for his title defense. I get more excited than he does, I think. You know, like I get more emotional than I've ever have about a fight of my own, you know, because like you want your friend, your teammate, and to succeed. And when he does it in a fashion like that, it's just like me shooting that bear.
Yeah.
You know, it really is. And it was a high that I've missed so much. And that's what I miss about fighting. You know,
but now you've got another avenue to experience a similar. It's not the same high, but it's a similar correct. Excitement, right? So well, and that's great.
It's a positive one because so many ex athletes turn to some negative ones.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, finding some streetwalkers or whatever. You know, anybody that's their own decision, man. I'm just
thinking more like heroin or coke.
Oh, same game, man. Same game.
I mean, you know.
No, I'm just kidding. But you're right, Luke. It's something that – sorry, we see squirrels regularly on the show. I'm sure if you've listened, you probably you know what we're talking about. But you're right, man. It's that release. It's that outlet.
Yep. It is.
And here's the thing, right? I like Conor McGregor. I like Nate Diaz. When I heard that Nate Diaz was going to fight Conor McGregor, I couldn't have been any happier because I love fighters that get that into it. I don't get me wrong. I think stoicism has its time and place. I think, you know, being a good sport has its time and place too. However, there's a certain level of achievement or competition or whatever it is you're going after that I want to feel it. I want to feel what you're feeling. I want you to be feeling something. I want us both to be as excited about this, you know. And when I hear Conor McGregor talk or I hear Nate Diaz talk, I just get more excited about what's going on. You know, win, lose, or draw, however they do, I want to watch them.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they know how to hype things up, and they know how to entertain people. I mean, I was at the weigh-ins for that, and I could not understand half of these guys from Irish. They were like, happy days, and I mean, it was crazy. I mean, and it was nuts. It was nuts.
What was that? What was that weigh-in like? Because I must have watched the videos and the interviews multiple times.
So, Justin Salas was on the prelim card, so he was right away a weigh-in guy, and he took his old wrestling coach, trainer buddy, on stage with him because he's never been on the UFC stage. So me and Trevor Whitman, his head coach, said, "Go up there, you know, and experience that because it's a great feeling. If you're not going to be a fighter and step on that stage, that is the next best thing, you know. I mean, it's something unreal." And so we gave him the GoPro and said, "Hey, you know, make sure you do this." And me and Trevor, we go the UFC brings all the coaches in this little area, right? Well, we happen to be in the Stockton area of the Diaz, you know, representing, you know, and these guys are straight up, I don't know, they're crazy, right? But the whole stadium is nothing but Irish fans. Like, we have this group of Diaz's and the whole McGregor Stadium is just nuts at the MGM. We're right in the thing, and once they get up, and you can just hear the trash talking, and I'm trying to film because I'm trying to put videos together and capture everything, but I'm videotaping over here, but I'm looking over here making sure this fight ain't breaking out, and it was crazy. It was crazy. Crazy.
So what are your thoughts on McGregor? I mean, with the way he goes about it, because he's definitely vocal. I think he's, you know, everybody's impressed at the way he handled defeat.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this. I mean, so I guess first, what are your thoughts on McGregor as a competitor, in the UFC?
You know, do I like him? I don't know him like like I know you, but I, you know, we shook hands, we've talked, you know, and I think he's good for the sport because he's making that money for the fighters. He's raising that bar, which MMA has not had that money yet, like boxing. Could I go without, you know, him talking sometimes? Yes. You know, let your actions speak, you know, but that's why he gets paid the money he does. So I'm not mad at him. You know, he's marketing himself so good that he's worth that much, you know, and who am I to say, hey, shut up, you know? No, he's doing all the fighters justice, honestly.
Sure.
And, you know, who did I go for? Well, I put money on Diaz, so I was a happy camper, you know?
So let me ask you this then. You know, he's handled the interviews and stuff after his defeat pretty well, I thought. But he still had an excuse as to, hey, well, you know, who else is going up two weight classes? What's going to happen if he loses when he doesn't have an excuse? How do you think he's going to handle that?
Well, apparently they got the rematch going again.
And oh, really?
UFC, yeah, 200. And so, and it's at 170 again.
Wait,
so,
rematch Diaz and McGregor?
Yes.
Oh, this is music to my ears.
I'm like, dude, you're going to give Diaz a full training camp now, and you're going to do a rematch? I mean, I don't think
– You know what? Good on Connor. Good on Connor.
I don't know, man. If he loses again, that's not going to be good for him, though.
He loses again, he'll have to drop. He'll have to drop.
Well, yeah, for sure.
But you know
what? Are they going to vacate the belt, though?
He's still – no, it's not for a belt. You know, because it's at 170.
No, but are they going to vacate his other belt? Is it 145?
I know.
Let's look at this financially, right? This fight is going to be built up. It's going to be one of the biggest fights in UFC history, if not the biggest, right? Money-wise, pay-per-view-wise, it's going to be huge. If he wins the third match, oh, my God. Oh,
well, he's going to have to defend his belt, or they're going to have to vacate it, though, right?
Yeah.
He's going to have to.
I mean, he's Dana White's, you know, and Jeter's. I mean, they're gonna let him do. I mean, look at TJ Dillashaw. We were just talking how, you know, he doesn't get a rematch right away against Cruz, and that was a controversial. I mean, that was a close decision, right? And he doesn't get a rematch right away, and Diaz chokes him out right away. You know, I mean, they see the money, where the money's gonna be at, you know. And McGregor, whatever McGregor wants, I'm sure he's going to get. I just don't see it. I mean, why don't they do it at 55?
Right, you know? I agree.
I don't know. I guess if I had a goose that was laying solid brick gold eggs, I would not tell him to stop laying those eggs. I'd be like, all right.
But here's
let's take
the deal,
more.
Too. If he lays a freaking turd, you know.
Right.
Then that golden goose or that Midas touch has gone away.
That's true. That's true. But he still has a chance to drop and defend the title. Still can
do
it
there. But it's not as sexy anymore. It's not as sexy anymore.
No, I mean, but here's the thing. I don't find him fighting Aldo as sexy as him fighting Diaz anyways.
No, but he should – was it Edgar? Is it Edgar that should get the
– Edgar and I mean, Dos Anjos is the champion at 55, which they're originally going to fight, you know. So, I mean, I was pumped when the Diaz fight stepped in, you know. Am I over it? Yeah, but will I watch it again? Yup.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I will. So, I know they got it right. They know where the dollars, the pay-per-view dollars are going to come in and everything, you know.
So tell us about some of the other guys you've got to work with or you're planning on working with, Luke, because obviously you being so heavily involved in MMA and the UFC competitors, you know, you mentioned Chad you're working with and TJ. You did some a hunt with Shane Carwin. And who are some of the other guys that you're not your inner circle, but your hunting circle and some of the stuff you got planned?
Well, you know, I'm not – like, okay, I'm going to take, you know, Pat Barry and Rose Namajunas out. You know, there's, you know, I want to take them all out, but a lot of them got to do hunter's education.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's just not like, you know, oh yeah, this guy has so many followers, this will be good for my show, you know, and they're entertaining. You know, it kind of brings me back. I took Brandon Thatch. He's a high-level UFC fighter, and he's never went out hunting before in his life, right? And so we went to Texas, and we went hog hunting, and we gave him an AR, you know, and my cameraman was like, you know, we were talking, you know, I was going over, you know, how to, you know, safety. And he was like, oh, yeah, I'm good. I got this. And I was like, yeah, you ain't got it yet, right? I'm going, my cameramen were like, Luke, are you really going to give him a clip? And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to give him a clip. Little did he know, though, that clip was empty. I had to give him a test run, you know? And he did, you know, his hunter safety, and he was all – he's done it, you know, and but he's never been in the field, you know? And to me, I was like, well, let's give him a trial order, you know? I didn't want him to bring the muzzle over to us and, like, did you think of that? And, you know, shoot my cameraman or me, you know? Oh, you know, there's a lot of things I got to look, you know, into bringing a guest on because, you know, are they hunters? What animal are we going to go hunt for? How much money am I going to go spend on a New Zealand trip? And I'm taking somebody out for the first time. You know, that's really probably not the smart thing to do, you know. Can I take a newbie turkey hunting? Probably, you know, a new guy. But that's where I'm kind of looking at now, you know. And, you know, as far as my guests, I just want it to be entertaining. But on the business side, I also got to look at what value do they bring to my show too, you know, because every guy wants to go shoot something or go in the outdoors and be on TV, you know. Yeah. It's good for their stock and everything. So I got to look at social numbers, you know, because I'm promising my sponsors so many more, you know, like I'm going to do digitals for them and so many social numbers with them, you know, because that's what I'm bringing different to the table is a new following, a new crowd, you know. Why would I sponsor Gladiators Unleashed when there's so many other hunting shows out there, you know? Yeah. I'm bringing a new audience in to watch these shows, and that's what I'm really stressing on to these companies, you know. So it's all about who I'm bringing in, and, you know, like I want to bring Kennedy in, you know. He's a great guy. He knows he's been hunting, you know. So I'm going to bring in who's who, a couple females like Kat Zagano. I'm going to do it all. I mean, I'm definitely might even bring a few NBA players, Bronco players I train with. You know, I help Steve Hess with the Nuggets. And I mean, I can't say it's just all going to be fighters because I might bring on a Gallinari or someone like that, you know. Or to me, a perfect gladiator is a wounded warrior vet or something like that, you know. So it's just all about that is what I feel like I'm going to bring to my show.
How about, say, a Joe Rogan, for instance?
That would be, you know, icing on the cake for my show. I mean, it's just hand in hand, right? And, like, you know, with him and, you know, Cam Haynes doing their thing. And it was funny, like, that last fight at in Vegas with the McGregor fight, I'm walking out and getting ready to corner Justin Salas, right? And I'm supposed to be, like, you know, all focused and everything. And I look behind Joe Rogan, I see Cam Haynes. So that's just like, oh, man, I'm like starstruck. I'm like, look at it. So I go like this to Cam Haynes. He looks over at me. I grab my arrow, and I look at him, boom, do the whole arrow thing. He's all like two thumbs up, you know. And to me, it'd be great to have Joe Rogan on, and, you know, and it just would be hand in hand, you know. It makes sense to have a guy like him on my show.
Yeah, he's really becoming a good spokesperson for hunting, and because he has such a different, like what you're bringing, he's got such a diverse following, and
yeah, major following,
right? And then educating them, because he's a smart guy, man. I mean, from the, you know, different cooking, you know, recipe, whatever he's talking about, how he's doing different things, is he's really becoming a top-notch spokesperson for hunting, and it's good to see. Anytime you've got somebody from a different category of, like I said, whether it's sporting events or, I don't know, man, it could be whatever. It could be somebody in the boating world or like Will mentions, the skiing and climbing community. Somebody, other people like that that come into the hunting community and shed a positive light on it, educate people, man. It's really good.
That's
What he says is just gold to people too. Yeah. You know,
hunting really needs that melting pot. You know, a few more ingredients and to really mix everything up in there. You know, it's been kind of a really close knit, kind of closed community for so long that I would think sponsors would really see a value in something like your show, where you're like, listen, I'm bringing in people from the outside. These are new people.
Yeah, and you know, and it's hard to say that because, you know, they want to see it already on TV and see the numbers already, and which is smart business on their part. You know, I mean, I can't expect to go up to a company and say I need $100,000, and they're going to be like, why? Because you're a fighter. Yeah. You know, I got to prove it to them and show them, you know, my media kit, and like, you know, like I thought my media kit was really done well by my producer. I mean, we took, you know, the followers of, you know, Willie Robertson. You know, he's the guy that people know from Duck Dynasty and the outdoor world, you know, the Commandos, you know, and all that. But these fighters have way more followers than Willie Robertson has, you know, I mean, by millions. And for me to bring them to my show, those followers are going to follow. It's going to bring a new audience into the outdoors and, like, I mean, bring new hunters in. I mean, who's going to – I mean, a big fan might be, you know, like a Shane Carwin. Like, they love Shane Carwin, and they'd be like, man, I didn't know he shot a bow. I need to try shooting a bow.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm hoping that brings value all around the world, you know. Like, you know, these guys are going to, you know, preach conservation, not even talking about, like, the preparation of a fighter, but this is going to be their meals that they train with, you know, like their meat that they're going to have for training camp, you know, their protein and all that, you know. So there's a big cause for, you know, for them to be a part of the show and show other people why they're hunters.
You know what else would be good? I've always thought is get someone who's big in CrossFit.
Yeah, like yourself?
No. Somebody. I was thinking somebody bigger. Somebody who's maybe made it to the games on that level. You know, like Rich Froning, because I know he's into hunting. Or I've heard some of the other guys are starting to hunt now too. I think it's gonna catch on, man. You watch hunting in the next 5 to 10 years. I think it's gonna catch fire.
Which is good, you know, it's really good, you know, I mean, that's what I think we all have, that we all need. I mean, yeah, it's going to suck if you're hunting over the counter and you're going to have a bunch of guys out there hunting, but that shows you that we're actually doing our job right. You know, people are paying for licenses and doing their part, you know, and that's what the whole point is, introduce, you know, young Tom to hunting, and my kid when she's old enough, and I mean, that's what it's about, right? I mean,
yeah,
to me it is.
Absolutely, and that's where there is that balance, though, where you want to teach new people and you want to get them out there, but then there's that that issue of when we're going to reach that teetering point of too many people. But in my opinion, I think that's when, like, Colorado will have to start looking at it and maybe limiting the over-the-counter license, doing more draw-type hunts. But it'll work itself out, I feel. It may take a little time, but it'll definitely work itself out.
Yeah. I mean, you know, CrossFit, will I bring a guy on? You know, heck yeah. You know, I'm not I'm not saying CrossFit is going to be the one that I'm going to put all my eggs in.
No, I'm saying sprinkle, lightly sprinkle.
I know you're a big CrossFit dude.
Maybe get one for the season, you know?
All right. Well, what? Maybe Maybe I try one with you, huh?
Hey, maybe we can do one. I've got ideas. Big Sexy and I got ideas.
Good, good. Yeah, I'm not going to say no, and I'm not going to say yes right now. But
there you go.
Many people have said yes way too soon.
Yeah, it's all about having fun when you're out there. I mean, that's the key, is just get out there and having fun with the guys, you know, the guests. That's what it is. What, for me, it's going to be, you know. I mean, I've been on hunts where I have not even seen an elk, and I've had great times, you know, camping, doing all that. I mean, that's what it's all about, you know, getting out in the outdoors, you know. You hear it all the time saying, oh, it's not about the kill. Well, it's not. It's all about, you know, the camaraderie and getting out there. You know, the kill to me is the bonus, you know.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you want to get that picture with that big moose or big elk and the little bragging rights, but.
But the stories of such and such screwed up with this, or somebody fell in the river, or, you know,
yep.
all those things is where it's comical. It brings you back to that point of kind of lightness and just having fun and being able to throw your buddies under the bus throughout the year until next season comes around. Right. That's
Justin Gaethje is a perfect example of that. Like, I took that guy hunting with me numerous times to try to get a kill with him. And, you know, there's a good thing why he can fight, and he's making great money now fighting, because he would not survive in the wilderness.
You go hungry?
He would go hungry, man. Like, but I, you know, I love his effort. You know, like, he's, you know, he just picked up a bow from Phil, and he was determined to kill something with that. So I took him turkey hunting with me and Shane, and I mean, that guy had like 5 opportunities at, you know, 15, 20 yards, and he just kept on missing. We gave him the shotgun. He missed with that. I mean, it was all fun, you know. So this year he's all like, I'm going, and I'm getting it. I'm getting it done, you know. So we'll see. We'll see.
So did he just – tagged out – I mean, tag souped it? Nothing?
Nah. I mean, it was so bad, he missed so high that the bird demons get scared. They were like, whoa, what was that? You know, it was fun. Like, I got a little trailer on there on the Facebook, so you get to check that out of him, and it's just like, wow.
Where's that trailer?
Have you ever shot before? On my Facebook, Gladiators Unleashed.
Alright. So do you have a most memorable hunt you've done so far with some of these guys?
Oh, man. I think all of them are all, they all, you know, sit in my brain, and we can talk about it. And, but, you know, it's most of them, the memorable one that comes to my mind is probably Shane Carwin, when he tagged his turkey up. And it was not because he got it, he tagged out. It was more meaningful for him because, you know, Shane was, you know, a world champion in the UFC. I mean, when you're in that limelight, you got to be doing road trips, you know, meet and greets, always on the, you know, kind of like some of these pro hunters that, you know, you guys had Christy on the other day, and they're always going to Cabela's doing stuff like that. Well, these fighters do the same thing. We have to go do all these meet and greets, and they can never have time to go on the outdoors, right? He said it's been like over 10 years before he picked up his bow and actually hunted with it. He said he would shoot his sack, you know, his barrel, and his place, but he would never really go hunt until I asked him to come along with me. And he dropped everything. He said yes. He cleared his schedule and went. You guys there?
Yeah, we're here.
Okay. So that, to me, was more meaningful for me, is to get him out, you know, and be a kid again, you know. And the expression of him doing that and getting that bird was priceless to me.
Do you have someone in mind that would be like this guy? There's one guy I'd really like to get on the show. Is there someone out there for you?
Oh, man. Well, like me, like personally, like Joe Rogan would be a good guy to get on, you know, just because I would like to introduce him to, you know, my area that I'm from. I'm originally from Nebraska. I'd like to show him, you know, where I grew up at and how did a kid like me end up in Denver fighting, you know, and that would be fun. I would love to take somebody that was more like a vegan or something like that and show them why we do this and why, you know, it's just not about, you know, getting an animal or a trophy on your wall, which I think a lot of people still think, you know, they're like, do you just do it for the heads or what? I'm like, no. In fact, you look at my man cave now, my walls are still kind of empty, you know, but that's why I think it would be fun is someone like, you know, I would love to take a PETA person out and educate them. Really. I really would, you know?
Yeah. And like I said, those experiences, those amongst friends, when you're having a good time and they realize that, you know, us as hunters, we're not out there with the sole intention of just slaying animals and whack them and stack them. And, you know, there's no respect for what we're doing. I mean, there's some people like that out there, but it's so not that, you know, and that's where I think that we get portrayed negatively just because of what a few people think and what fewer people even do. So I don't know. I agree that to take somebody out, allow them to share the experience with you and yeah, hopefully give them a different perspective. Yeah, that'd be interesting.
It'd be hard because, I mean, like I said, I'm just now starting to get my foot in the outdoor industry. And I throw a video up or a picture up of an animal, and you would not believe some of the comments I get. And I don't have time to get in a debate with them. I mean, if the free time I got, I try to spend it with my family, right? So all I do is I do the little delete. I try to get that negative stuff off, you know, because I don't want some of my fighter friends get on there and tell the person how it really is, because I don't want that negativity on the site, you know. So I just delete it. So I, that's one thing that I'm kind of new on is getting that negative feedback. Like, you know, you're a killer. Why don't you, you know, shoot yourself, you know? And I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. Delete, you know, it's crazy, you know, I'm like, why are you even on my page? You know, yeah, you just go on Facebook just to find stuff like this.
Keyboard warriors, man. Everyone's a tough guy.
It's crazy. Like, I don't have time to debate with you and tell you what I'm doing. I delete you. And I, you know, I've had a couple and I'm just, and I want to get on the keyboard and just, you know, meet me in my gym, you know,
yeah, right.
I do. I really do. But, you know, I feel like then I'll lose, you know, the argument, and I just
That's the thing. The minute you play into that negativity, it's got you. And there's nothing worse than negativity out there. I mean, there's a lot of terrible things out there. But negativity, man, delete is the best thing you can do. Swipe it right away. Like, forget these fools.
I delete it, and I'm just like, well, I guess I'm going to get in this field. I'm going to have this conversation, you know, and, you know, I have my business partner and my producer, you know, all admin of my Facebook, right? And I'm like not on my phone all the time. I'm usually training guys or working out myself. And they're like, dude, did you get that comment? Delete that comment. I'm like, you can do it too.
Yeah.
Delete it, you know. Don't let it sit there for 2 hours, you know. So it is what it is. I mean, you're going to have them.
I think I got one negative comment once, and I just deleted it. We don't get a lot of negative comments, which is surprising.
Well, that's good, though.
Yeah, I don't get a ton. I got a few on some of the YouTube videos that I've done, and it was something to the extent where I'm reviewing a high-end product, right? Uh-huh. And they're like, oh, that's such a piece of trash. This is the best one, and it's a product of by far a lesser price category, by far lesser quality, and it's just like, really? You think that piece of junk is better than this? All right. You know, but it's the same kind of deal. I'm like, okay, look, thanks for your opinion. but I feel that this product is superior because of this. And I'm doing it from an informational standpoint. It's an opinion, right?
Yeah, let me tell you all about the greatness of the Whisker Biscuit.
Right? Yeah.
Like, so you're the only guy. There's always that one guy. He's like the only guy who really appreciates the Whisker Biscuit, and he appreciates it more than anybody else in the world, and he just needs to tell you how inferior any of your rests are.
Yeah.
Hey, wait a minute, Will. You're telling me the Whisker Biscuit's not good?
Hey, we haven't graduated, Luke.
I mean,
you started the backtrack.
I mean, here's the thing. Luke. Here's the thing. You're not going to come beat me up for selling you a Whisker Biscuit. But what happens to Phil? He's on the next show. He's got two black eyes. I'm just going to pretend his wife did it.
No, I'm kidding. I'm excited. I got that new ham ski on this new bow, and
that's sick.
I'm excited.
Did you get
really
personalized?
No.
Not yet.
Pretty soon. I'm going to get one that says Little Hulk on it.
Yeah, I'm going to do something.
Did you get it on there yet, Phil? Or what are you running?
Mine says I got one of the first runs that has my name on it.
Wait, does it say Big Sexy?
No. So Sean actually was, when he gave me that first rest, it was at ATA. And I've been working with those guys. I've been running their rest since they started with them, right? And being one of their local guys, it's kind of on the field staff for them. And they he told me, he goes, man, I debated putting Big Sexy on there. But I he goes, I figured I better keep it PC. Not that it's bad, but he told me he was almost about to put that into the when they were going to laser etch it or whatever they do there. So it was funny.
Oh, that would have been priceless.
I would have rocked it. I'd have, you know.
Of course. Yeah. You're the Big Sexy. You would have had to.
Well, you know, it's one of those things that it's all a matter of opinion. But, hey, when I tell my wife, I joke around, I'll walk out of the shower and I'll just kind of be touching myself. I say, hey, how do you keep your hands off me? I can't keep my hands off me, but how do you keep your hands off? and then she goes into the whole, you're stupid. You're dumb. And then I need Will to inflate my head again with all those cool intros that he gives me. So, you know, it's a constant balance in my house.
Right?
Oh, yeah. It's like my wife brings me down to ground level, and then Will will bring me back up a little bit, and then my wife brings me back down. But
I know when it's been a rough few days for Phil when I'm getting texts. So we can do a show soon? When are we doing a show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. But yep. So Luke, you've been working out my son Dom for a couple of 2-3 months now, right? It's been a little while. And I tell you, Luke has, I think, needs an award for the biggest age range in students, because he's got kids like my son Dom, who's 6, right? And then what's the lady's name that you just trained that had her fright?
That just almost broke the internet with that whole story, too. Her name was Anne, and she's 68.
68.
And she literally did her first MMA bout, and
no,
I mean, you
no.
want to talk? You want to talk about internet this? Blower?
Oh yeah,
sorry, I gotta Google this now. What should I Google?
They had it on the news last night.
Yeah, it was on the news again. I mean, at first it was really bad negativity, and now it's good and being positive because they got the story right. They heard it from us. I mean, this chick, she trains harder than some of my pros, right? I mean, she does. Was she going to get hurt into the fight? No, I would never put her into the octagon. But, I mean, she'd probably get more hurt training with me than the fight. I mean, when I got her the opportunity, because I knew how much it meant to her, despite this woman's background is unbelievable. Like, I won't get into all of it, but this woman beat cancer, and she just done so many things. Like, who am I to say she couldn't fulfill her dream? I mean, this is what she lives for, you know? And so I put her through the test. I mean, don't get me wrong. I literally, my mom and dad would kick my ass if they knew how mad I would push her in the gym and spar with her. And, you know, and she took it and she did great. And that's when I said, all right, I'm going to find a promoter. I'm going to find a show and I'm going to get her on a card.
Yeah.
So I did it, and, you know,
people were like, oh, come on, what are you doing that for? It's bad for the sport. Yeah, well, a lot of things are bad for the sport. Steroids are bad for the sport. Everything's bad for the sport, you know?
Here's my thing. I don't see it as being bad for the sport for this sole reason. I think if somebody is of sound mind and body and they, of any age, want to do something like that, whatever it is, it's legal, you should be able to, by God, chase your dreams, go out there and do it. I think the worst thing we can do is to start putting limits on people, this, you know, especially because of their age. And there's been a shift in this country where it used to be we're supposed to respect and learn from our elders, you know, and all that stuff. And now it's like people treat them like they're a big burden and almost want to throw them away like they're trash. They're no longer – you've passed 65, you're no longer useful to us, which is ridiculous.
I got to watch her work out quite a bit, you know. Yep. Luke works her out usually right after Dom in a lot of days, and it was one of those deals that I was like, man, she's getting after it, you know. And there was even times where she was working out with other people. I mean, Luke is – but I saw her even with another guy, you know, hitting
boxing guy. Yeah.
Yeah, and she was like – she's on it, you know. She's really working her game. And so here's where the way I looked at it. It's like if you're going to allow women to wrestle in boy sports in high school, right, because of equality and everything else, then – What's the difference? You know, whether it's if there's an age barrier or if there's a sex barrier, everybody wants equality, but then they want to say, oh, that's, you know, you're too old. No, bull crap, you know? I saw it, and I didn't get to watch the fight live, but we got to see it on the news, you know, she didn't win, but you know what? She got in there, and she got after it. She competed. You know,
that's what it was all about, is her get in there, and win or lose.
Like, she didn't look afraid one bit.
No. Like, this is what she wanted to do, you know, and, you know, she passed all the medicals. I mean, you got to do a lot of medical things before you get in that cage, all the blood testing, all the everything, EKGs. I mean, it's a pretty long list of what you got to do before you step in that cage. And she did that with flying colors. Let her fight.
Yeah.
Especially when she has a trainer like me. You know?
I think there's nothing worse than stunting somebody's dream.
Yeah.
If someone's got the courage to get out there, get after it, put themselves in harm's way in that position, knowing full well what can happen to them, there is nothing worse than a person who says, you shouldn't, you can't, you'll never get it. Those people should all go fuck themselves.
Exactly. Because they're the ones laying on the couch, sitting on the thing, watching it on TV, saying, "I should. Why don't they do this? Or they should have done this." Yeah, get off the couch, Sally.
It's the same people. You don't need to be fit to hunt. You know, you don't need to shoot that many arrows. You don't need. You don't need. You don't need. You don't need. I cannot stand those people. If you're one of those people listening right now, you can just turn this off and never turn this back on, because I don't need you in my audience. Neither does Phil.
They would be the delete button on my socialism.
I hate that.
You're gonna have haters. You're gonna have haters, and like the way I always look at it, if I don't have haters, I'm not doing things right. What I mean?
I'll tell you what. I just watched that fight real quick while you guys were talking, and I give her all the respect in the world, because the amount of balls it takes. Because I used to wrestle, or anybody who competes, anybody willing to put themselves in any kind of field where they're willing to compete, my hat's off to you. You've earned my respect. You've done the training. You've done the time. You put the work in. I know what it's like not to want to get up. I know what it's like not to want to do your workout, not to eat the right food. I know how hard it is to tell that little voice that's sitting in the back of your head, oh, Will, we could just hit that snooze alarm. We could get 15 more minutes. We could get 20 more minutes. We don't have to get up. You're tired. You're sore. Stay in bed. I know what it's like to have to tell that voice to shut up and go and, you know, take a hike. You know, this lady had to go through all this. She had to go through all that. She had to, you know how many people – I can't even imagine the amount of people that would have told her she's crazy, who have told her it's not a dream we're chasing.
Yep. Even me, as a young kid, if I had a penny – for every time, what are you doing this for?
Yeah.
It ain't going to take you nowhere. You know, you, what are you doing? Go get a job, a real job. And I'm like, no, it's not what I want to do.
Yeah.
I always, you know, no, same thing, you know, I don't know. It is what it is. Like, you're going to have those haters, and just like in anything.
If you're following your dream, there's nothing that shuts up haters more than when you go out there and just do it.
See, yeah. Yeah. I mean, honestly, like, to me, it's fuel for me. I like the haters. Like, I'm like, you know, don't get me wrong. Like, even me doing this whole Gladiators Unleashed thing, getting in the outdoors, like, I've had the haters, like, what, you know, why are you doing this? You haven't killed nothing big or anything. And I'm like, pretty much, yeah, I have. Everything I have harvested is a trophy to me. And for one, I'm not doing this show for you. You don't got to watch it, you know?
And that's the thing, man. That's what, who out there said that to be on TV with a hunting show, you need to have 20 years of experience, and you need to have killed so many trophy-quality animals, and you need... Who said that, right? Because you're looking at this from a perspective of you've got a unique situation of you training people and you've been able to hunt with these guys, and it's not a common they're, like I said, I'm not talking down to the UFC, the MMA community at all about they're not hunters. I think that there's a lot of them that are. But you've got the opportunity, and you've got the business mind, and you've got the initiative to put it together and present it in a package in an entertainment form, right? What's wrong with that?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm not going to cut corners on this. Like, I'm not going to go out there with a handheld and videotape me out of a tree stand. I am paying top dollar for a production team. I'm going to bring the best production value on the tube so you can watch it and try to, you know, capitalize a great story on it too, so the viewers can enjoy it, you know. And that's what I'm trying to do. When I stepped on this, I love that, you know, I watch a Sportsman's Outdoor Channel. And, you know, I watch all these shows, and I'm like, man, why isn't there something like this on there? You know, and that's what really got me going, you know, on it.
To be the man who steps up out of the crowd and says, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make my dream happen. I'm going to make it reality. Takes far more guts and far more personal strength and testicular fortitude than most of these people who stay in the crowd and point fingers at you and try to tear you down or hold you back or, you know, talk shit to you. It takes far more of that stuff than they'll ever have. Because a lot of these people, they get like that because they, one, didn't have what it took when the opportunity knocked for them to do what it took to open that door and go for it. Something held them back. They just didn't have it. Or they're scared of other people's success, and there's nothing worse than those people.
Yep, exactly. And then I've always been a gambler. I'm a risk taker, and I will do everything, you know, to my capabilities and to always proceed my dream. Like, if I fail, well, at least I'm going to fail trying, you know? And
fail.
That's the way I look.
I heard the quote the other day, if you fail, fail forward. Make sure you learn something from it. Make sure you get a takeaway from it. And that's what I liked about Conor McGregor. He's failing forward. Why is he fighting again? Because he knows he learned something in that fight. Maybe he learned something none of us know in that fight that he's going to use to take it into the next level.
And not only that, but people are going to remember his name. You know what I mean? That's what I respect. You know, he didn't cower away from doing a rematch. He wants that rematch because he is a competitor and he thinks he can beat that guy. That's what I like about him. He's like, yeah, he might have got choked, but he ain't going to get him again.
And that's the thing. You're either that guy who at the end of the game says, give me the ball. I'll take the shot. I'll make the run. I'll throw the pass. I'll take the hit. Or you're the guy who shies away and says, I'm just going to fall back into the crowd, into the fold.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. Is that kind of like I'm not a big CrossFitter guy. I know you are. But when you're doing that, that's kind of like you want the ball, right? Like you're competing like that, right?
That's what CrossFit is. CrossFit's give me the ball. I'm going to put it on the line and I'm going to go for it. And I think that's why so many people are attracted to that. I think because you have to put yourself out there to to really stick around in CrossFit, you have to get used to being uncomfortable, being the guy saying, I'm going to push it to the end of the workout, which is why I think people are also attracted to Train to Hunt or Phil's, you know, competition coming out, Alpha Bow Hunter,
right.
You know, or even archery for that matter. Anybody who ever shot an indoor tournament knows what the fear of getting up and standing on that line when you're surrounded by a bunch of other really talented archers is like. And that's why, you know, I got a little passionate earlier, may have cussed a little bit, but I've been told a lot in my life that things I'm doing, including this podcast, are a waste of my time and it will never go anywhere, never amount to anything. Why are you doing it? Why are you wasting your time? Over and over and over again, I've heard it from teachers. I've heard it from coaches. I've even heard it a couple times from my parents or family, right? And you know what? You know what? I don't give a shit what any of those people have ever said to me. Not once. And you know what? I'm happy as hell doing all the things I've done. People have told me Train to Hunt's a waste of time. They told me archery's a waste of time. Hunting's a waste of time. Well, maybe to them it is. Maybe to them it is. Maybe if you want to live a comfortable life in your comfort zone and never get bothered, you know, hey, that's great. That's great. That's a great life for you. But for me, people like us, we want to fly too close to the sun.
Yep.
Get burned or not.
It's so true. Like, I mean, I'm willing to lose. I mean, that's like when I was fighting.
Nailed it.
When I was fighting, I would literally, I mean, there's 50-50. Like, you're going to either win, and there's going to be a winner and a loser, right? When I would get my hands taped, and I would almost guarantee 99.9 fighters deal with this. When they're getting their hands taped before they're getting ready to fight, they're thinking in their head, why in the fuck am I doing this? Like, how can I get out of this? Like, what did I get myself into? But then once you start getting that tape done and you start feeling it, you get in that mode, you know, and you're like, boom, and you start to hear the crowd roar. That is why you do it. You know, that is the reason. I'm telling you, it's a high, you know, that I can relate now to hunting because I'm no longer fighting. But when I put that arrow on that animal is because I practice and I did it. Nobody else did it. It wasn't a team.
Yeah.
It was me. And when I miss and I lose, it was me. And that's what I love about fighting. That's what I love about wrestling. Of course it all takes a team, you know, and even in this outdoor thing, it takes a great shot. Like I go to No Limits and it takes a great team to set up my bow to make sure that it's tuned right, it's good. But when it's all said and done with, you're the one out there shooting. And that's what I love about it.
Hell yeah. You're the one. You're willing to lose. You put it there perfectly. And you know what's funny? You say that thing about when you're getting your hands taped up, why the hell am I doing this? It's like there's times where I've in the middle of the season, near the end of the season, I've had zero success. I've been freezing my ass off, and I'm putting my clothes on for like the, 300th time that season, and it's cold as hell and it's dark as hell, and I'm heading back into the woods thinking, why am I doing this? Yep. And then just a little animal shows up, and I'm like, ooh, this is why I'm here.
Yep.
I get that when I put a heavy pack on and I'm like getting ready for a workout. I'm like, why the hell am I doing this?
Yeah.
That's the part that it's like, I'll deal with a little bit of cold. Don't get me wrong. I don't like the cold. I'm with you on that last story, Will, but it's more when we were doing 200 pounds on Train to Hunt, it's like, what the hell are we doing?
And exactly. Like, you know, right now I was talking to Aaron earlier today, and you know, we're you know, he's coming on board to be a part of the show, which I'm so blessed to have. Like, to me, it's like the ultimate pack, right?
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, to me, it's
no argument there.
Like, it's the brand that I want to represent, and it's the brand that I think if Gladiators will represent the brand, you know, perfect for. And but I'm thinking, he's like, yeah, man, we'll have to do some things, you know, like, and I, you know, I follow Aaron, you know, on social, and I watch some of his things, and I'm going, man, I'd rather get punched in the face.
You heard it here first. Luke would rather get punched in the face than hang out with Aaron Snyder.
You know what I mean? Like, I see some of those hikes he does and feeling them. They go, you know, like, I had to run Red Rocks with the fighters, you know, and I hate it. I hate running. I hate it. And then I see these guys load up their packs and do the Red Rocks deal, and I'm like, man, I thought I was done fighting. Done. I want to go there and watch a concert, drink beer, and hang out, but not work out again.
The workouts these guys do when they all meet up at the is the Mountain Warrior Training Camp, it's called. Yeah. When they get together, from the pictures I've gathered, it's a lot like the Steve Prefontaine quote of the only pace. I think it's the only pace is like a death pace, and today's a good day to die. That's what they're all going out there for. It's like,
and I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe if I kick these guys right in the thigh, they'll go my level.
Yeah,
and it's the Iceman. Someone like the Iceman is going to be there, and he's going to be thinking, I hope I go so hard, someone else collapses out here.
Right? And I'm like, man, I'm just trying to get a workout in.
We've been on a couple hikes, and this was more last year. I've only been on a couple this year. But last year, there was a couple times where, you know, Luke and Gabe and Colton and Grant and Aaron, and it was just like, okay, who's just going to go full retard and be the one that's on that death pace? Because it wasn't the same guy every time that was doing it, but it was somebody different that usually take the lead and get after it. But you're right. It was one of those things. We'd get done, and we'd look at each other and it's like, you don't have to say anything. You know, it's just, that was dumb. Not dumb, but it was dumb.
Those are the best training partners, though.
Oh, it's great. And yeah,
that's right.
I need to join that crew a little bit more. On the last hike, I saw Grant. I don't know if you guys seen Grant on social media, the big Afro dude. Grant's a cool guy, but him and Colton, they got into a little grab ass match, and I think Colton ended up shoving Grant into some cactus. Well, Colton's telling me, yeah, we were picking cactus out of Grant for about an hour after the hike. It's stuff like that, you know, even though that's not hunting, it's preparing for hunting. It's the same relationships. It's the same experiences. It's the same stories. And it all comes full circle, man.
It's all part of the sport that is hunting. Still.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you got to do it. I mean, don't get me wrong. You have to do it. You got to prepare. I mean, but my short little Mexican ass legs. But fucking with those guys, I'm like, man, you know, maybe I can bring them into my gym and just give them a little taste of what I do. And then look at more respect when I'm up there dragging ass.
I'd love to see that. Phil, you got to get it together. You got to make that happen. Get the crew.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
I, unlike Luke, don't like getting hit in the face. I actually, Trevor, who's one of the other partners at Grudge, I used to work out with Trevor when he opened his first gym, TKO Gym, I think is what it was. Yep. And I went in there with another friend of mine, and we boxed and worked out with him for – it was just boxing at that point. I was doing for like 6 months. And I got to spar with Jake a couple times. Jake's a big boy, right? I mean
– and he was even bigger back then.
He was 6'2", 215, yep. 220. And every time I got into spar, it's like I happened to get him. And I'm 5'10". And I'm, you know, a buck 85, buck 90. He's got me outweighed by 25, 30 pounds, 4 inches taller. And he'd light me up, you know, and he was just going easy. And I'm sitting there and my head just, boom, boom, you know.
Like a pez.
Right. And then after a while, it's like, man, I love this kind of workout. It's a great workout. I don't like getting hit in the face.
Yeah.
Flat out.
It's definitely not for everybody, you know. It's definitely – people need to work at IBM. Others need to be fighters, you know.
I didn't go that far, Luke. I didn't go that far, man. But I'll fall in the middle. I'll just say I fall in the middle. But you're right. So tell us, Luke. So you guys are your show, Gladiator Unleashed, you guys are working on some episodes as we speak. You're going to be going on some hunts. But when are we going to be able to see you guys on the screen?
Okay, so we you know, it's not set and done in a contract written, but, you know, we talked to Sportsman. Sportsman's Outdoor Channel really want us, and we're pretty much pushing Q1 of 2017. I mean, we got to start somewhere, right? You know, and I'm happy starting. I'm just happy that they're interested in us and they want, you know, they're all about it, you know, they want something new like this. And so that's pretty much the whole gig. So this year we're filming pretty much every hunt that I go on to show you guys, you know, in 2017 Q1, you know. So that's where it's all at right now, you know. And right now we're just in the process of getting sponsors, you know, because all this stuff costs money, you know. I mean, you guys know hunts cost money, especially if you're bringing a guest or a guest, you know, multiple guests, you know, out-of-state tags cost a lot of money. So I got to get, you know, the kitty rolling and prove to these sponsors that we are different. We're going to bring something different, new followers, you know, and try to be different and unique, you know. And like, you know, me being a fighter, most of my pay came from sponsorship. So I know how important sponsorship is. And I think that's what we have a lot going for, you know, me stepping in the outdoor industry is I'm not just expecting a company like Aaron to drop mad money at me for something that they haven't even seen yet, right? So what I'm doing is I'm going to build them an audience. I'm going to build them. Well, where you at? You lost?
Where? We got you. Okay. Yeah.
And I'm going to build an audience for them, and I want to prove it to them that, you know, this is going to make it worth their while. You know, I want, you know, when I love to sell thousands a pack for Aaron, you know, but realistically, I'm going to get them new followers, new faces to their brand, you know. That's the key. Yep. That's what I want to do. I want to be different and show the sponsors that I will take care of you and do it
in the format that you're going to be talking. Because I've talked to you quite a bit about different stuff you're working on the show, and I agree. I think that it's going to be a refreshing show that's different, that's unique. Doesn't matter which season you're going to see it, because the content is going to be, it's going to be hunting with a twist, with the MMA crowd and with a different element. To me, that doesn't. I think you guys are going to do well, and I don't think it matters what time it airs or when it airs. Not that you're going to get a bad slot. I'm just saying, I think that your guys' show is going to be refreshing, and it's going to quickly become one of the more valuable, you know, shows for whatever network you guys end up working with, because there's a lot that goes together. There's just so much that goes together with the different worlds. Those two worlds are so related in so many ways, and they're so different in so many ways that, man, I'm excited to see it. I know Will, I think Will's in the same boat because he's an MMA fan, you know.
Hell yeah.
We're all hunting fans, and definitely, like you said, Luke, it's going to be – you're going to get a little taste of the guys that are following you and that want to be a part of you, what you're doing, and want to be on the show, and the MMA crowd that's, hey, man, I want to do this, because they're going to see value and they're going to see a part of what you're going to grow, and they're going to want to be in, because it's going to be contagious.
That's the plan. I hope so. I mean, everything's a risk, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, and from the feedback I got, it's a green light, and I'm going to run with it, you know. I'm going to run with it until the wheels fall off, you know. So I'm excited for it, you know, and I'm excited to keep showing new teasers and everything, because I have like a bunch of them still that I got to show, and it's fun. It's going
to
be fun.
Throw us a little teaser to put out.
All right. If you go, actually, last night I just put out one. It's a little 5-minute one of like, it's more like a introductory of what I did last year of kind of like, you have Shane's little segment on there. You have Gaethje's on there. You just have some of these top athletes out there, you know, shooting and missing. And, you know, we haven't really got in the talking comical part, because you got to get – I got to show who these guys are first, because I can't just start busting out some of these guys' attitudes, you know.
I like that.
It's fun. So if you go to the page now, I mean, we put it up last night, and just the, I mean, it was cool seeing. I woke up this morning and I got like, you know, 30 some shares and of new people. And to me, it, like, that's cool, you know, like, it's fun for me seeing that, like, people like, oh man, they dig this, you know what I mean? And yeah, to me, that's rewarding for me, you know, like, I know that this is going to work and it's fun, you know, and that's what I'm excited about.
Let me ask you this. Do you get excited when you don't have to pay full price for your supplements?
Do I get excited? Hell yes.
You know,
I
mean, what?
You think I get suckers?
No man gets guns like those without a little supplementation.
Without Mountain Ops, right?
Damn straight without Mountain Ops. Damn straight.
And if you know, here's the deal. On the Mountain Ops deal, like, I talked to Jordan and them at SHOT Show, and they're, you know, I showed them the clip, and they're like, well, do you take Mountain Ops, you know? And I said, no, I take, you know, Muscle Farm, you know, because that's pretty much what we were given, you know. He goes, well, we like to, you know, have you try it. So I got home, and I got on the internet, and I got on, and I ordered everything, right? So I said, I'll start taking it, right? I got this cleansing, whatever it's called, right? Hey. Man, it's supposed to help for weight loss and everything. No, I'll tell you what, it works. It's cleaning you out. And it, well, on the label it says, what does it say, poop easy or like that, nice poops or whatever on it. I forget what it says. And I'm like, yeah, that's an understatement.
So you're saying your intestines were at the death race pace.
Oh man, I was like, okay, I got to plan my day a little bit better. Like, how far am I going to be away now that I'm taking this? You know, now it's all good. I think my body just wasn't ready for a cleansing like that, you know.
too many tortillas and beans, man.
Yeah, that's just it, you know. I was just like, oof, man.
Man, but, you know, this place is great, but my toilet paper bill's doubled.
Yeah, right. I got the discount on the supplements, but everything else went up. But it's all good. Like, I love the Yeti. I love it all. You know, it's good.
Well, if anybody would like their intestines to be a lean, mean machine like Luke's, you can go ahead and get 20% off your order at Mountain Ops or getmountainops.com by entering the coupon code
NBH20.
That's right. All you got to do is enter it at checkout, and you too will have the greatest poops of your entire life.
Yeah.
There's a commercial. No one else is doing for them.
Gotta be real, man.
That's right.
It cleaned me. I ain't gonna lie. It works, and I'm still taking it. I don't have the issue now. I think my body's good. So, also, but the first one was a little bit rough. I ain't gonna lie.
Also, those of you watching the video version of this episode have probably spotted Phil's sweet OD green Maven t-shirt, because guess what? Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? You want to tell him, Phil? You want to tell him about this?
Hey, yeah. Will's been, you know, nodding me and saying, hey, man, you got to check these binos out. You got to check these binos out. So I went and bought a pair of binos. And I tell you what, I've been putting in the work over the last week or so since I've gotten them, and I'm very impressed. I mean, we've got to, you know, meet with the good people at Maven. We've had Brendan on the show and talking with them more, and me asking them 100 questions and really learning their product and them seeing value in our feedback. They gave us a bonus code as well for a free gift for you. If you decide you want to go out and get you a set of binoculars, I encourage you to check out the Mavens. And to the extent, I bought a pair to have in my shop, so that way anybody that wants to bring their pair in and look at them side by side, or just look at a new pair, the ones that I have there, man, come check them out at no limits, right? Because these guys, you have to buy direct, right, Will? I mean,
that's right. You can check them out at Phil's shop, but you cannot purchase them at Phil's shop. And here's the great thing. Phil isn't just bullshitting y'all. He bought the binoculars his own damn self.
And I wanted to do that just because if at the end of the day, if I don't like them, I'm not tied. I'm not obligated to anything, right? Working the partnership, the business relationships with people, you need to sometimes give a little to get a little. And with these guys, I committed to buying some, and I've been looking through them. Man, I tell you what, I've got a pair of $2,000 binoculars, and now I've got a pair of Mavens, and I'm going to tell you that I'm going to be 100% honest. I don't see a $1,000 or $1,200 difference in those binoculars. I really don't. To me, if you're looking for a top-notch set of binoculars and your budget is around $1,000, man, you got to check out the Mavens because they are money. There's no question that they're as good as something twice the price range. And like I said, I don't want to sound like too much of a sales pitch because to me, they agreed to give you, not us, right? They're giving any of our listeners as a bonus. If you want to go out and get you a set of Mavens, they're going to give you a special gift at checkout if you type in NBH gift.
That's right. I mean, if you're looking, that's in your price range. You can spend a lot of time, if you're a fancy gentleman like myself, customizing the hell out of your own pair. I mean, they've got patterns up the ass. And all you got to do to get yourself a free gift is enter the code NBHGIFT. And Phil, this is what I love. I was telling Phil how great these are. Phil's like, all right, I really like Brendan. I'm calling him. I'm going to get myself some. And we start the show today. Before we start the show, I'm like, Phil, that's a great T-shirt. Where'd you get that T-shirt? And he's like, I pulled the trigger. I bought some binoculars. And I was like, well, how are they? And he goes, you know what? I have, like he said, a $2,000 plus pair of very well-known brand of binoculars. And I went side by side, ran them through some tests, and I couldn't tell you a single difference. Not one difference. And the Mavens are $1,000 cheaper.
Yeah. Yeah, and I spent my fair share of time behind the glass last year up in the high country sheep hunting. And I tell you that I am very much looking forward to them coming out with the new products. I can't say what it is yet. We've got a little bit of insight here this summer because I'm going to buy some of those for high country mule deer hunt this year. I'm sold. I'm a fan, and I encourage you guys to check them out. Like I said, I'll have my set at the shop. If anybody's around Denver area, want to come check them out. I'm actually buying another pair. So just so you guys know, I've got a pair of 8x, 8x42s, the B1s, and a pair of 11x45s, or the B2s, that I'll have there that you guys can check out, but unless I'm hunting, because then they're going to be on my bino harness.
Nice.
So, hey, that's it, man. I got to run, Luke.
Where can people check you out, Luke? Where can they check out your stuff? Where can they peep it?
We're on everything, you know, like the whole social network. You can check me out at Gladiators Unleashed on Facebook. Got a couple new reels out there, so you guys want to get a little taste of that. Check that out. Share it. Like it. You know, that's always nice. What am I on? Gladiators_ whatever you do. Unleashed on Instagram, Twitter. You know, we're on all of it. Check it out, YouTube. And we head to New Zealand April 12th, I think. So you can catch us up there and see what we're going to do. We're going to do some live feeds there, you know. So it'll be good. It's going to be fun. And, you know, most of all, I got to say thank you guys for putting me on this podcast with you guys. You know, there's only so many podcasts I listen to, and you being one of them. And, you know, the Gritty and Joe Rogan's is my three podcasts. That's it. The Fighter and the Kid once in a while, depending on who they have. But you know, I appreciate you guys for letting me be on here and what you guys are doing and bringing to the table. So I appreciate that and your time.
Hey, man.
Well, thanks, man.
We'll do it again. You know, especially as you got more stuff developing and getting ready to, you know, later in the year once stuff starts to unfold a little bit better. Man, for sure, it's a lot of fun, and maybe bring a guest on or two, and we'll just sit here and bullshit because that's what we do, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
see squirrels and bullshit.
Just partying bullshit here on the Natural Born Hunter Show. And like Luke said, everybody likes it when you share their stuff. So share this episode. Check us out on Natural Born Hunter on Facebook, naturalbornhunter.com. We're on Instagram. Phil's also on Instagram, Phil Mendoza. If you haven't signed up for the Alpha Bow Hunting Challenge yet, you better get your ass over there and do it before Phil reaches the sign-up limit, because that's going to happen. That will happen. Other than that, subscribe to us on YouTube and iTunes. And check out Championship Bow Hunting Podcast as well.
Have a great night.
We're out.
Later.